Do you need a break?
You read my mind.
Come with me.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Break. I'm your host, Father Roderick. I'm a priest and I'm a geek. And I love to talk about movies, TV shows, technology, faith, and so much more. And today I have some stories to tell about a fantasy festival that I visited the past weekend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This episode is brought to you thanks to my wonderful community of supporters, people that give me a small monthly donation, and with that entire community together, they make it possible that I continue this work. I have no other types of income than this. So if you want to join this community, you want to stay informed about the very exciting things that are about to launch, especially a brand new community on my website, fatherroderick.com, which will not only have a community that is even better than what we currently have on Discord, it will also have a monthly live coaching or like an encounter webinar type of ability every month. And there will be a new podcast feed. There will be a new show that is coming. If you want to stay informed, then by all means, subscribe to my newsletter. It's called The Diary of a Media Priest. That would be me. And if you subscribe, it's completely free. I give you a copy of my newest book about the time between Easter and Pentecost. It has 50 pages with 50 prayers and 50 wonderful, like, geeky illustrations. You can get that for free, and then you will get notified whenever I open the doors to the, let's say, the beta stage or the early access stage of this new community. So again, just go to, well, again, I haven't mentioned where you can go to sign up. If you go to fatherroderick.com/free, so fatherroderick.com/free, and you sign up with your name and email address, I will send you my latest book and as well some updates about what I have been working on for the past 2 months now. It's going to be amazing. This is really going to be the next step in the way that I can serve you as a listener, as a visitor, as someone who follows me on TikTok, on YouTube, and on so many other platforms. All right, let's go over to the world of movies and TV shows.
How do you not like movies?
They're predictable. Like, the guy gets the girl, and that kid sees dead people, and Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Not liking movies is like not liking puppies.
They're fine. I just get bored and never make it to the end.
You know, you need a movie education. You need a moviecation. I'm going to give it to you.
I don't know if you're watching The Bad Batch, which is the newest animated show on Disney Plus. It tells a story about a couple of clone soldiers that were not as well cloned as the majority of the clone army. But that makes them special. That makes them unique. And they team up, and there is a girl, Omega, who is also a clone and is so, in a technical way, kind of the sister of these brother clones. And there is something special about that girl. And the Empire is hunting her and trying to capture her for reasons that actually most Star Wars fans now already know and have guessed. But it has to do with that one phrase in The Rise of Skywalker that got a lot of Star Wars fans upset. Like, somehow Emperor Palpatine returned. They're now filling in the backstory of that kind of that weird moment in Star Wars where all of a sudden Palpatine, who everybody thought had died by the hands of Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, was somehow back in the galaxy and more dangerous than ever. So how did that come about? Well, The Bad Batch kind of ties into the backstory of that. The last episode will be aired this upcoming Wednesday. And one of the things that I'm considering doing is to create a webinar, like an online live session, where I will review the entire story of The Bad Batch, and I will highlight some of the important points that resonate with me and maybe even some lessons learned from that particular part of the story. And there will also be some Q&A time. That particular webinar will be one of the new features that I'm going to launch together with my new community. So again, if you want to stay informed about stuff like that, make sure that you are subscribed to my newsletter over at fatherroderick.com/free. I'm also watching some Star Trek, still watching Deep Space Nine, greatly enjoying it, even though it looks so old-fashioned compared especially to the amazing special effects that you have for Star Trek Discovery, of which I'm watching currently the fourth season. I'm trying to catch up with the fifth season that is currently being published every week, so I'm watching a few of those episodes every week. But it's still, in terms of storytelling, so superior to Discovery. I can't believe that a show that is so amazing when it comes to production value, special effects, is so badly written. I will not go on my soapbox again. You know my take on Star Trek Discovery. It's just not the best Star Trek. But thankfully, we also have Strange New Worlds. And, you know, Strange New Worlds is actually on my mind almost every single week. And this is because of one episode in season two. And it is the famous, or maybe for some, infamous musical episode. So there's this one story where the Enterprise with Captain Pike gets trapped in a certain, like a strange parallel world where everybody communicates through song. They do have like an in-universe explanation why this entire episode is a musical, but the songs are so catchy, and I have them constantly in my head. Sometimes I struggle to turn off the tunes because it's so cool. And, you know, one of my favorite songs is with Spock, who is actually dumped by his love interest. Yes, Spock does have a love interest in this particular series. And then he sings about, "Now I'm the X." And of course, because he's half Vulcan, half human, he struggles a lot with all the emotions that come with the territory. It's a great, funny song. And oh my gosh, I hope they're going to do more of this stuff. And I secretly hope that Star Wars will also do at one point a musical episode or a Star Wars musical. Why not? It's so much fun. There's been a Buffy episode, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that was also produced as a musical. And I've never watched Buffy more than just a few episodes of the first season. So I'm not exactly familiar of how that particular musical episode ties in with the rest of the story, but what I do know is that particular soundtrack is also amazing, and I love listening to it on Apple Music. So so this is why Star Trek is almost every week on my mind. What else have I been watching? Let me take a look. Fallout, of course. I continue to watch Fallout. The entire first season is online. It gets grittier. It gets even more violent along the way, which at some points completely grossed me out. But the storytelling is insanely good. This is really... I totally understand why people said this is the new Game of Thrones. And that is so rare for a television series that is based on a video game. But they do a terrific job, storytelling, character development, there are twists and turns, the special effects are amazing, the world building, it's, wow, it's at a level that I hope that Star Wars TV will also get to at one point. Star Wars is a different beast altogether, but somehow every television series that was, you know, that Disney made with Star Wars characters and Star Wars backstory still kind of felt like it's made for TV. With Fallout, I am in this world. There's not a single moment that I'm thinking, oh, I'm watching a TV show. The world is so believable, even though a lot of it is just CGI and it's lots of special effects. But I'm totally there. Whereas with Star Wars, I'm always aware that I'm watching a TV production. with Obi-Wan Kenobi, that was the one that I had the most trouble with. I love the story. I love the young Princess Leia and the way she was portrayed. I love the writing, the dialogue. That was all wonderful. But the special effects and the whole, you know, the virtual, not very good. Andor is the only Star Wars series where I believe that I'm in that world. But even, I would say, even Andor can learn some stuff from Fallout. The world of Fallout is so much more diverse and surprising than Andor was. So, of course, the second season is currently in post-production of Andor. It's looking very good. I think the producer or the writer, someone who has the lead of Andor season 2 has said, this is my best work ever. Now that is setting the bar really high in terms of expectation management. So if they dare to say that, like, this is the best thing that I've ever done, then I have high hopes for Andor. And I have also high hopes for Disney, that they will continue to hire good people. One bit of news that made me super happy is that they actually enlisted one of the writers of Andor for the Star Wars prequel. Of course, we have the prequels that George Lucas directed and wrote, but we're going back in time many more centuries to the beginnings of the Jedi Order and the discovery of the Force. And it's a bit of a tricky story to tell, because you cannot use a lot of the visual language that makes Star Wars Star Wars, because this is before the Jedi. So how are you going to do that? How do you convince the fans that this is something that they can relate to as Star Wars fans? I am very surprised. And at first, that was the only movie that made me both curious but also worried. Like, this can be a major success. It can expand the boundaries of Star Wars, but it can also be a huge failure and a movie that nobody wants to talk about afterwards. But to hear that they hired one of the main writers of Andor for that movie, yep. That's looking good. I also read a new interview with Daisy Ridley, who, of course, played Rey in the sequel movies. And in the interview, she was asked about her impressions of the script. She said that there is no script. There are just a couple of story beats. They're still working on the script. But next month, she will be the first actor who gets to read the entire script in its current state, because obviously that will still continue to be developed. This is not the first Star Wars movie that we will see in theaters. That first one is going to be about The Mandalorian and Grogu, which of course is maybe the easiest one to produce, because everything is already in place. They have developed visual language. They have the actors, the costumes, the puppeteers. And Jon Favreau, of course, is probably going to be involved in that heavily. So together with Dave Filoni, I think they will make it work. And even if it is just a bigger story, but still similar to The Mandalorian on TV. I love The Mandalorian on TV, so I wouldn't mind going to the movie theater to watch a movie continuation of that story. But then I think the movie after that is going to be the movie about Rey. And Daisy Ridley said that she actually took some time to think it over. She was invited by Kathleen Kennedy out of the blue to have lunch with her, and then she was talking with a good friend of her, telling him, like, oh man, the friend actually said, wouldn't it be amazing if they would wanted to do like a Rey TV show? And then Daisy Ridley was like, nah, they're not going to do it. Just want to have lunch and reconnect. And then after she had lunch with Kathleen Kennedy and she was pitched the idea of returning as Rey Skywalker in this new movie, she called up her friend immediately. Guess what? So she ultimately said yes, and also really embraces this adventure. She is aware of the fact that the sequel movies were controversial or divisive, that not everybody loved them, but she did. She really enjoyed the experience. I also noticed this from just the behind-the-scenes stuff that we've seen. The photos that were posted on Instagram, you know, there was such a good rapport between all the characters, all the actors behind the scenes. And you know what? I still have the idea, even though the movies had their flaws, I think over time people will start to appreciate them more and more and more. We're getting used to how the story is told. So a lot of that initial emotion, like it's not what we expected it to be, will fade away. And then we'll probably start to appreciate it for what it is. And just in the same way as we have ultimately embraced the prequels for what they are really not very good movies. They are movies with huge flaws. I think in certain aspects of the sequels are a lot better in terms of overall quality than the prequels. But now everybody loves the prequels. Everybody loves the character of Anakin Skywalker in the way that Hayden Christensen portrayed him. And we can't really imagine someone else playing Obi-Wan Kenobi than Ewan McGregor. Sir Alec Guinness seems like a faded, distant memory. So, yeah, maybe that will happen too. For Daisy Ridley, she says, "Now I'm now embracing this role in a very different way. I feel like I'm an adult now. I was not. I was still, in a certain way, too young almost for the experience when she filmed the sequels. So now that she has had much more work as an actress under her belt, she is much more ready to embrace this new phase in her life as an actress, but also in the life of Rey Skywalker, because of course this takes place, what is it, like a decade in the future or after the sequel movies, maybe even longer. And Daisy Ridley is trying to rebuild a Jedi Academy. So, and my guess is that they will probably also use that her lineage, the fact that we discovered in the last sequel movie that she was actually a descendant of Palpatine himself, and part of a dyad with Kylo Ren. I wouldn't be surprised if that also will play a role in this story. We got to get a glimpse of an evil Rey at one point, but it was just a hallucination or some dark force trickery, just like Luke Skywalker has this vision of being Darth Vader in the the tree, the magical tree on Dagobah. But I've always felt that's a direction that would make it so interesting if Rey Skywalker would actually start to lean into the dark side for whatever reason. I don't know. It would create tension around her character, and it's a guess. It's a hunch. That would make it very different. It would make it much more than just a sequel. Like, it's just another, an add-on to the Skywalker saga. This needs to be something new. And maybe it will kick off a new trilogy, more movies. I don't think that would be a surprise if they would continue that story somehow for a new generation. We'll see. Hey, there are some trailers that I would like to watch with you. I always love to check out what we are going to look forward to. So I've got the IMDb page up, and if I'm correct, I can actually display these trailers for those of you that are watching this on YouTube or elsewhere. I can display them in my window so you can see my reaction to it. I wanted to play the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, but I decided to watch it beforehand, and I decided that, nope, this is not a trailer that I can play on my show, because I have a family-friendly show, and there are way too many words in this trailer that start with the letter F. So let's not do that. Instead, I'm going to check out a trailer for a science fiction movie called Atlas, and it features Jennifer Lopez. Very surprising. I have no idea what this movie is about. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but let's take a look and see what it is.
Good morning, Atlas. Time to wake up.
I'm awake.
Agent Atlas Shepard has spent years of her life hunting the artificial intelligence known as Harlan. Originally engineered to advance humanity, instead nearly ended it.
If you really want to try to capture Harlan, you need me on that mission.
Mayday! We are under attack!
What do I do?
Stop it!
Oh my God!
OK,
cage is out of control.
This planet is unstable and inhospitable.
Atlas, my name is Smith.
Is that really necessary? You're a computer program.
I'm driving through hell and out of raw snow.
No, I'm not.
No? What are you then?
I am a computer program named Smith.
No one likes a smart ass Smith. We don't have much time. Harlan's planning an attack.
Atlas, my primary protocol is to keep you alive.
Same! I don't need your help. I don't trust any AI. Smith!
Okay, this is out of control.
Atlas, this won't work if you don't trust me.
Okay.
Nobody.
This is what it feels like to be you.
This is what it feels like to be us.
It's beautiful.
Don't worry. We are simply the better versions of you.
If we don't stop Harlan, all life on Earth is doomed.
You everything I know about it.
Shit.
You're in my head and the only thing you learn how to do is curse?
I'm an adaptive learner.
Okay, let's go, bitch.
Okay, this is out of control. Okay, this is out of control.
Atlas. Okay, so May 24, only on Netflix. This is a Netflix movie. I'm not convinced. The one thing that immediately strikes me, and I know, I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but the acting of Jennifer Lopez is so bad. Everything she says sounds rehearsed, sounds acted, and not real. And of course, for those of you that are just listening to the audio podcast, you just hear the sound of the trailer. But in combination with the few glimpses that we get of her acting, I don't think this is working. No, not at all. This looks really subpar. The movie itself visually looks amazing, but also very generic. It's just crazy good, but I get the impression that they're trying to make a blend between HAL from 2001: A Space Odyssey and an Alien with Ripley's character, because at one point Jennifer Lopez's character is also in one of those exosuits and running around and shooting at whatever, robots. But it has none of the gravitas of Ripley's character and the way it was done in Alien. So it looks a bit like sci-fi fluff, like a popcorn movie, and I'm a bit disappointed by that. I didn't expect it to be this generic, but I will watch it anyway. Because it's on Netflix, so it doesn't cost me much. Okay, this one I really fear to watch because I don't like this franchise at all. It makes me nauseous when I try to watch a movie, even if I'm not watching it on a big screen. I watched two or three of these in theaters, and they were so long and just all this visual spectacle. And then I watched the others on TV, and they were so boring, but it's still a very profitable franchise. I'm talking about the Transformers franchise, and apparently we're getting another Transformers movie. Another one. So let's take a look at the trailer. Of course, the world needs more Transformers.
So, how long do you think we'll be here? I'm not talking to you.
You know what? We are so screwed!
Thought you weren't talking to me.
You two, come with me. Report to Waste Management.
Hi there, I'm B-127.
I'm actually working on some nicknames. The one I'm floating right now is Badassatron, which is actually pronounced Badassatron.
Is this a kid's movie?
We're gonna call you B.
Before he was Optimus Prime.
I know we're just lowly worker bots who can't even transform.
He was Orion Pax.
Don't you wanna see what's out there?
Before he was Megatron.
There's a reason no one goes to the surface.
He was D-16.
It's dangerous.
Why'd you bring jetpacks?
If we survive this, I'm gonna kill you.
I accept those terms.
It's a video game movie. This fall?
The surface.
It's beautiful.
Every Transformer?
You have proven yourself worthy.
As an origin. So it's an origin story.
Take these and access your full potential.
It's time to show them we are more than meets the eye.
We can transform now.
On three. One.
This is for kids.
It's working. Where's my head? How do we use these things? Look at the wheels. I need wheels.
Guys, that's not good.
We've got these powers for a reason. Let's use them.
We stand here together as one.
Whoa! I got a battle mask! It appears with this guy. Knife hands? I have knife hands!
I can see that.
Okay, it's called Transformers 1.
B, these are not
the bad guys.
Why did you cut the door?
What? No, it was already like that. Right?
Yes, that's right. Yes. It was already like, yeah, that's right.
Oh, some big names there in terms of voice actors. Okay, so I don't know if this is a theatrical release, but it's clearly geared towards a very young audience. It looks like an animated movie. And it's so, again, it's so generic. It's so, it has all the classic story beats of a trailer for a kid's movie. I don't know. It's just not very good. But I guess it's a way to get new fans interested in Transformers, which, of course, are more for an older generation that grew up with the toys. And younger kids nowadays have no clue what Transformers are, probably. So this may be a way to introduce the franchise to a younger audience. I don't know. I think it's a little bit superfluous. I don't see why this would be necessary. But, oh well. Alien Romulus, we already talked about that. Inside Out 2, that is a movie that I would like to see. I really love the first Inside Out movie. And then here is one that I want to play. This is going to be the last trailer I'm playing. This is a sequel to actually one of my guilty pleasures. It is a disaster movie called Twister, which came out decades ago. And I love that movie. It's like, it's totally wrong in so many ways. And it's so offensive even to people that live in those, you know, the Twister corridor parts of the United States. It's full of cliches, but man, is it an entertaining movie. And that came out like 30 years ago. They finally did a sequel to it, and it is unsurprisingly called Twisters. And I already know that I need that movie in my life. Because I may have seen the first Twister movie maybe more than 10 times now. So let's take a look at the trailer. I love bad weather movies.
Guys, whatever's in there, it's big and it's moving fast. Drive!
Go, go, go! Go.
Very much like the first Twister movie. More spectacular? This summer.
It's Tyler Owens. Calls himself Tornado Wrangler.
If you feel it,
chase it!
I said if you feel it,
chase it!
So it's again going to be about storm chasers.
Perfect! She's gorgeous!
You thought you could destroy a tornado.
We never had a chance.
Oh, interesting, they're using the same technology as in the first movie to measure how a tornado is
you don't
evolving.
Face your fears.
It looks very much like the first movie.
We got twins! Twins!
Okay, I like this.
Is that it?
Nope.
Okay, July in theaters. This feels so much like the first movie, but in a good way, because I really enjoyed that first movie. This is almost the same story beats as the first movie. It feels more like a remake almost than a sequel. They're not trying to do anything extraordinarily new here. It's just the first movie worked and it is kind of a classic disaster movie. Let's make another one just like it. It just has even more realistic looking tornadoes. This is, by the way, not just a movie is a guilty pleasure, but I always like it when you know, clips show up on my TikTok timeline, for instance, of these movie chasers and or tornado chasers and you know, or these natural disasters. Of course, obviously, for the people that live there, it's horrible, but it's incredibly impressive to watch that footage. And sometimes you know, people have those dash cams in their cars, so there's a lot more real footage of what happens if you get close to a tornado like that, or even get, you know, gobbled up by one. It is just, I sometimes complain about the weather here in the Netherlands, but when I see stuff like this, I'm like, yeah, I think I like it here in the Netherlands. We do have some rain, but it's nothing like this. Anyway, Margot in the chat says, what do you call a fear of tornadoes? Common sense. You call it common sense. I think that's totally true. I've never understood why people would risk their lives just to film a tornado. It's just like the ultimate adrenaline rush, clearly, but it could get you killed. So is it worth it? I'd rather just go to a theme park and step into a roller coaster. I may get the same amount of adrenaline, but it's much less risky. All right. Well, with that, it's time to wrap up this episode of The Break. There will be a longer premium version for those of you that are supporting me through Patreon. Right now, the Patreon subscriptions are closed, so you cannot join one of the tiers, and this is because we're transferring everyone to the new, even better community that I've been building for the past 2 months. Very soon, a number of you will get an invitation to join the early access phase of those new communities. What I really want to guarantee is that you keep getting these shows. For you as a listener, as someone who follows me, there is no risk. There's not going to be any interruption. So we want to first kind of try out this community. We will have a new podcast feed with premium content. So we need to test that out. So I'm not going to change anything about what's currently going on with Patreon and the way we're distributing these podcasts, so that for anyone who is not in that first early access group, you can just rest assured that you will get your weekly update. And then gradually, if everything works and it's safe to go there and there are no tornadoes anywhere near, then we'll bring everyone in. So again, stay subscribed to my newsletter, or subscribe if you haven't done so already, at fatherroderick.com/free. Talk to you soon. God bless.